Okay, so one of my friends was listening to the share, and he did suggest that it seems to be the reason that everyone's worried about beer is not just because they drink beer, we know they drink beer, but also because, and this does seem to be what they're saying, is that beer used grain that was more likely to be chadash, was from the spring crop, than for other things. There's nothing we can do about this. Hopefully it'll just be periodic, and we'll. I have a loud voice, so you know. Okay. So we saw the fundamental positions, right? Who said the reason we can be make on chadash and chutz laaretz are either because of limitations on geography or ownership. But as well. Yeah, you have it on the chat. You can print it off. Now that we have a printer, you can print it off. I don't think it'll be helpful, right? So I don't think it'll be so helpful. Meaning they're dafka up, right? I don't like it's like tiny, and this is air conditioned better. So, anyways. Hopefully it won't be so much. It might be. I don't know. If it gets really bad, we'll move. Okay. So, as we saw, right, you have the position of most strikingly the Bach, who says that we limit the prohibition. It doesn't apply at all, either in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz, on a Doraisa level to produce where the land was owned by non-Jews, and therefore... in Chutz La'aretz, you don't even have to be machmir midirabanan. That's the position of the Bach. That's how he explains how we are makel. Then you have the position of Rabbeinu Baruch, quoted in Truvas Maram, that the leniency is primarily based on issues of geography, that it is only usher really in Eretz Yisrael and samuch to Eretz Yisrael midirabanan. Which is not just a rejection of Rabbi Eliezer, but a qualification of how to understand the Chachamim. Of course, you could just say, look, maybe we just passing like the Chacham against Rabbi Eliezer, so it's only Nisr Derabbanan in Chutz La'aretz, which can give us some room for Heter. It doesn't get us all the way there, but possibly opens up the door in certain cases of Sfeikot. But, as I said, the main Heter that is found in the Ramah emerges from the Rush, where he actually accepts the fundamental halachic positions that we've seen, and nevertheless finds heter. And the conceptual basis for what he said is really quite strange. But let's look at the original source. People quote this as the Sfek Sveik of the Ramah, because the Ramah quotes it. It is not technically the Sfek Sveik of the Ramah. It begins at the Sfek Sveik of the Rush. If you want to print out the sheet, now is probably a good time to get it, because it's number 9. So the Rush, unless you want to read it, I don't care. If you don't mind reading it on the phone, that's up to you. So the Rush, again, the Rush is the yes, but not his Tshuva. So the Rush wrote 3 books. What are the 3 books that the Rush wrote? He wrote the Rush in the back of the Gemara, the Piskei HaRush. He wrote the Tshuvot HaRush, which is what we got here, and Tosfot Rush. He wrote Tosfot, right? He wrote a collection of Tosfot called Tosfot HaRush. He's a Bala Tosfot, right? Now he starts in there's a recent yes, exactly. Yes, it was. It was like the Masons.
Or you could just call yourself a
Bala Tosfot. No. It's like it's a school of you know, scholars from France, Germany over a course of, you know. Yeah, you were in that school, you know. He's the towards the end, yes, meaning of the Balei HaTosfot, very end. And so when he's still in Germany, he write there was a dissertation or maybe a master's thesis that wanted to claim that Dafka, you see that based on his 3 works, a progression from Ashkenaziyut style of writing to Sephardi style of writing, that his first work in Ashkenaz is Tosfot Rush, where he's still writing like a Bala Tosfot, like a good Ashkenazi, and then the Piskei HaRush, he writes a bit more Sephardi, as he's starting to write more halachically, halachic codes, which is more of a More of a Sephardi thing to do, though you have some Ashkenazi goes, and then his Chuvot are much more Sephardi in style. I can't say with certainty that I know that that's true. But I remember Professor Counterfocal mentioning this master's thesis when I was in graduate school. Okay. So the Rosh in his Chuvot in Klal Bet, Simon Aleph, writes as follows. She'ela... the Deziv Lake Varbadia Mori however Yitzchak Skana Leviya. Asher Nistapeg Mori Imalochi Rilazar Damar Khadash Ashumatura Bechutz Laret Bahaleka Sveka. He said, okay, let's go through the halachic issues. You asked me, do we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer? And what is the Rosh answer? Yes, we do paskin Rilazar. That is not even a suffix. Right? Don't tell me you're not sure whether we paskin Khadash and Chutz Laret is Daoraita. There is no suffix. It is. Period. His proof is Mesechet Arla, and he says that the Rif paskins that way. And then third line. V'chein pasku b'chol ha'chiburim d'chadash noeg b'shel kina'ani. That it applies to non-Jews. And here he... So v'chein pasku. Right, he says... Both. Everyone agrees that it applies in Chutz Laretz, and everyone agrees that it applies to that which belongs by a non-Jew to a non-Jew. Meaning, you want to try to find a fundamental response to why people are eating Sabbath Chadash in Chutz Laretz or Chadash in Chutz Laretz. You're not going to get it. We don't paskin that there's any heter of Goy. We don't paskin that there's any heter of Chutz Laretz. We just don't. And he says, "V'davar teimahu lama lo linug b'shel kanani." Why wouldn't it apply to non-Jews? Demand the yesh kinyan l'kanani b'eretz Yisrael afkimi de ma'aser darish l'mikra digan chavalo digan kanani v'lavkra the tefuat kanani by Yisurah. He said, even according to the position that a non-Jew has the ability to remove kedusha eretz Yisrael by buying the land, they need a pasuk which focuses on digancha, your grain and not the grain of a non-Jew. Which implies that it still needs a gzeira katuv, and we don't even have such a limud that would exclude that which belongs to a non-Jew when it comes to chadash. And then he notes, and I'll skip down a little bit, and he says, look down, one, two, like 10 lines, four lines at the end of the line. V'Rabbeinu Yitzchak Pasuk came b'karev kama d'kiddusha. Baby Raya Menu Shalmi. And Tosvot Paskins. That Chadash applies in. Chotzar applies to that of a non-Jew. And then he says, and what about the limitation that it's only in Eretz Yisrael and the lands which are Samoch, Rabbeinu Baruch. What does he say? Divrei Rabbi Baruch me'od heim t'mu'in. What Rabbeinu Baruch said is shocking. Meaning, no and no. Absolutely not and absolutely not. It's just wrong. So now go down to Rabbi Yitzchak. See where he says, Rabbi Yitzchak, Kata v'tshuva, v'sefer ha-mitzvot, heviyo tamash anushotim, sheikhar se'orim, v'ochlim shiva ha-shul, samchinin aruba, shenizroim kodem ha-omer. So he says... The first tshuva he quotes, the first position he quotes, that maybe would explain it is, how can you have beer and oats, or shibol and shul, whatever oats are. Okay, whatever shibol and shul is, oats or two-row barley, whatever. So he said, answer one from Rabbeinu Yitzchak is, rove. The majority of the grain that they had was Yashan. And therefore he says, you can assume that the grain is Yashan. V'avi ha'ezri, then he quotes another sheet of the Avi Ezri, and he says, O tam acher le'atera mishum di'ika se'orim gam mishel ishtakeid. And he said, furthermore, there not only right there, since there are barley left over from last year, so that creates a rove that most of the grain you're using is old. Ah, so he's assuming you don't. He's just saying, well, the reason that we drink it is because it's suffek, and we assume that it's really yashan.
But he said rove, which means it's not.
No, but rove, you're allowed to rely on rove.
This is implying reverse.
Well, by definition, rove means most, not all.
Correct, but you're allowed to rely on rove. Right? We go by the rove, so he's saying you're right. Just like, and maybe a little bit get mixed in, whatever, right? Rove, meaning misafek, we can assume it is mutter. I mean, sure, you could have bittul if it was majority, vast majority, right? Well, maybe, we'll see. Some will say, no, it's not. It might be a davar sheyesh lo matirin, in which case there's no bittul at all, right? Meaning because it will become mutter, the rule is that davar sheyesh lo matirin ain't no batel. Anything that will become mutter, you just wait until it's mutter. Yes? There's a machloket as to why. Right, Rashi says very simply, "Lama le'echlo be'isur le'echlo be'heter." Why should I eat it while it's asur? Wait till it's mutter. Right, the Ran in a very fascinating piece in the Darim Nun Beis says not that way. What?
Rashi's saying it's asur now, and then you wait and it's mutter. But the idea of butel means that.
But the question is, but you don't have to rely on that, so don't. But you're right. Rashi is assuming that at some level you still view it as usur. It's just that you're allowed to eat it because you're allowed to rely on certain assumptions. But if you don't have to rely on those assumptions, don't.
Well,
the Ran.
Is it mutter or are you putter?
No, it's not putter. It's mutter, but Rashi's saying, but that's only if you don't have another choice. If you have another choice, then you don't. The Ran says not that way. The Ran has this very lumdish formulation where he says, no, if something is davar sheyesh lo matirin, so how does bittul work? Bittul only works when there's a conflict, right? That you have isser and heter mixed together and the isser overpowers the heter. What's the problem? If something is davar sheyesh lo matirin, because it will become a mutter, bechefza, it's not usser. And therefore, it's as if you have heter and heter. And heter can't be mevatel heter because they're not in conflict. And therefore it's not batel. Right? That's the Ron's Lumdish formulation.
It's actually usr.
And therefore it's usr, correct. Because it's bechefza. It's is mutter, it's a heter, but at the moment you can't eat it.
But batel also works something for bechefza.
Correct. So he's relying on a tweaking of the position that min bimino eno batel. Right? Meaning the. The two of the same thing are not batel. That you can only be batel something which is in conflict. Now he's extending that to halachic.
He's saying conflict has to be in.
So, well, he's extending it from being the same object to being the same conceptual category. It's a very fascinating Ron. Okay. And then he says, V'ata, lifnei ha-pezach, natati et libi, ya'an shep. He said, but before Pesach I started looking into this. You know why? Because I realized that the vast majority of the produce was chadash. So therefore these heterim are not going to work. But I wasn't ready to declare that it was usur because I thought that no one would listen to me. I used to tell people when they asked me, ask the farmers, and if they say that the majority is old, is yashan, so then it's mutter. And if they say the majority is chadash, then usur. And I also remember that sometimes when it was a late year of cutting, a late year of harvest, that my teachers forbade the grain. But they didn't tell everybody. So now he says something shocking. What does he say? When it is rov chadash, so what should you do?
Not
eat it. And what should you paskin? Nothing. Why? Meaning, you who knows the halacha, don't eat it. What should you tell other people? Nothing. Why? Because there's a principle in the Gemara which is very complicated, which is that if you know they're not going to listen to you, it's better not to tell them, because if you tell them, they'll become mazed, they'll be intentional sinners, and if you don't tell them, they will be unintentional sinners. You're right, and it's a huge machloket. Is this true even by Daraita? Is it only by Darabanan? Is it by Daraita Shein Mufurish Pikra? But the Rosh said that that was what he saw rabbis doing. That when they knew the majority was Chadash, so they would not eat it themselves, they wouldn't tell anybody because everyone would ignore them. And therefore, might as well let them not be Chatoim.
So I have to apply now and say, I have to tell something. Do I bring up these halachotas to...
Ask your rabbi. Ask your rabbi.
So,
Yosef, you are the Yosef. I will just tell you, you are the only person in Shir. You and Yosef Soloveitchik are the two people that I can like punt on any shayla, because I can just say you ask your rabbi because you have a posek who you trust.
Yeah.
So I can send it, and Yosef, when I have a shayla, I can send it to his great uncle, and his great uncle can paskin. Whatever, like.
Curiosity is more of the long lines of since I buy.
I understand. I'd rather this be on the shoulders of the rabbi that you and your family trust, and not on my shoulders. Okay? Because you trust him, your parents trust him. So, matovu marayim. Why do I need to put this on my shoulders? You know, I don't need it on my shoulders. I don't need responsibility.
Yesterday, I was actually on the phone with my dad, and he said something in terms of halacha, and I'm like, oh, actually, halacha is different. It's that. Not what he wanted to hear.
He's
like, stop talking right now,
or
I'm taking out
the yeshiva. Yay! Okay. So then he comes up with his chiddush. Okay, so Ad Kan, he said that. So the first half of the Rosh, I understand. You'll tell me after that. Until now, what does the Rosh say? What the Rosh says makes a lot of sense, which is. You rely on rove if there's a rove. Meaning, if you know that the majority of grain that you use is winter wheat or winter barley or winter oats, so then you're fine. But if you know that it's not, so then you're not fine. And the best you can do is shut up, because most people are going to ignore you anyways.
So,
right? That's what the Rosh says. Very good. Except that we know that that's not, that we might know that that's not true of our grain. So, yeah, we do. Yeah. How about I tell you right now? Umatsat. So now he brings a new hat there, and he says, "Okay, now I got you your fancy schmancy henter." Umatsati katuv b'shem haramza. I found from the Ram. I'm assuming he means here Maram Birkenberg. Mash anushotin shechar. Some. Yesh Omrim Mishum Svek Sveka. He brings in his famous double suffix, double order suffix. What's the Svek Sveka? And now I want you to read these words and tell me if what I am about to say makes any sense.
It's going to be like, we don't know if it applies outside.
No. Come, let's read it. I want you to read it in the original. Like I said, I'm doing this slowly. Right? I know. Right? Brody's piece summarizes everything we're going to say. But I want you to understand it.
I don't think he spoke about it.
Oh, he did. He better have. Svek sveka. Safek chadash. Safek yashan. Are you with me so far? It might be chadash, might be yashan. Yes? Now, he says the incredibly weird line. Ve'im timtzi lomar chadash. And even if it's chadash, shema hishrish kodem ha'omer. Maybe it took root before the Omer. Very good! And there is the million-dollar question that everybody asks on the Rosh and the Ramah, which is, what the heck did you just say? Maybe it's Chadash, maybe it's Yashan, and even if it's Chadash, maybe it took root before Omer, which is what we call Yashan, which means that either it's Chadash or it's Yashan, or if you think it's Chadash, maybe it's not Chadash, it's Yashan. What are you talking about? Right? That is the definition of Svek Sveka mitzarechon. Right? Meaning he's saying, either the grain took root before Pesach, or it was cut before Pesach. Either way.
That whole thing doesn't make sense because all that's saying is that it's not Mitzvah Yavah, it's the same thing in different words.
Bidyuk, and that's what I said. Remember I said yesterday the problem everyone's going to have is what's called a Sfekfeka Mitzad Echad, which is two, right?
It's not even two, it's the same thing.
Yes! That's Sfekfeka Mitzad Echad, right? Is maybe your shoes aren't green, and even if they're not green, right, maybe they're... Right, meaning it's saying, are your shoes green? Well, you'd say, well, they're probably not green because they might be blue, and even if they're, right? Now I'm mixing myself up. Whatever, right? Fine. Safek, are you in this room or not? Well, Safek, you know, you are not in this room, or a Safek, you're outside. Like, well, yes or no? Like, I don't understand.
Oh, I got a green one. It's either your sneakers are green or they're not green, or even if they're not green, maybe they're reflecting all other colors other than green.
So he says, and he says, but there's a problem, because he holds that even a Svek Sveka is not Batel if it's Dabar Sheishal Matiren. So he says, it's not mutter, but he says, here you have Svekfeka plus Bittel. Why? Because beer is mixed into water. And he's Mechadesh, the Dabar Sheishal Matiren is Batel when it's not Mino. So he says, by beer you have Svekfeka, which we don't understand, plus Bittel in water. Okay? And he says, I don't understand what you're saying.
Right? Omer and Isha
made a Tom. Right? So then he goes through a little bit. He says, first of all, I don't think you're right in the Yerushalmi. And then he says something more importantly, a few lines down. He says, are you insane? Are you seriously going to tell me that beer, the grain is batel in the water because this is flavored water? It's beer. The main part is the barley. It's not batel. It's beer, not water. So this is absurd. He says, Lokach lo nihira klal. So he said, I don't buy this at all. And then he goes through some complexities in Dabar Sheishal Matiren.
What if you batel it yourself?
But then he says, the real answer is, go down to six lines from the bottom. But he says, I just think it's mutter and Svek Sveka because it was not Ischazik Yisur. I mean, you don't know for sure it's Asar, so Svek Sveka is mutter. Now everyone looks at this and says, I don't know what you're talking about. And yet, this is the one that makes it into the Ramah. And for some bizarre reason, I didn't fit you in the Ramah. I thought I did, but I didn't. Or maybe I didn't. I'm missing it and I can't find it on the page. But I'll read it to you. Because this bizarre Shaila, this bizarre position gets into the Ramah. So the Ramah says in Reitza di Gimel, I think I just copied Shulchan Aruch and I assume the Ramah came with it, and for some reason my Barilan, maybe I stopped cutting earlier, but I'll read it to you. He says, Mikol Makom, Kol Stam Tvua Shari L'Achar HaPesach. All grain after Pesach is Mutter, Mikach Svek Sveka. Safek Hi Mishana Sha'avra, it might be from last year, V'im Dimtei Lomer Mishana Zoh, and if it's from this year, Mikol Makom Doma Nishir Sharkodama Omer. Maybe it took root before the Omer. But the Ramah says, but wait a second, and this is even the Ramah. But he says, this only works for what? Wheat. But what about barley that you always plant after Pesach? Then what does he say? Usher. Usher. He said, unless they happen to do a lot of importing, because then you can sell this Mexican income, because maybe it comes from another country.
Oh, but isn't there a mock look of like how long before you plant it takes root? So like maybe that's what he's talking about.
We'll see. One second. Let me finish his line. He says, V'chein b'zman shimor ha-choref nimshach l'achar pesach v'chol ha-galil v'orzim l'achar pesach v'varm nizgar mi'ez l'achar mi'er v'lachosh min astam. He said, what if all of the grain was planted since last Pesach? So then what should you do, even according to Rama? Be machmir. But then he passes like the Rosh. Aval ein lahoru l'achirim v'makam sh'rov sh'tiyatan v'chila tam b'minanim elu. B'minim elu. But if most of what people eat is from this grain, just be quiet. Ki mutav sh'yushog gigin v'al yuyu mizidim. Because it's better to...
So, what does that mean? I don't should
have told my family about it. Ask him.
So let's try to understand the Rama. So people just rely on the Rama. Now, if you just stopped at the Rama, what would you say? So first of all, you'd say the Rama makes no sense. Second of all, you'd say even if you paskin like the Rama, this only works if you're ignorant. But if you know that your grain is new, and anybody who knows anything could be able to figure that out, it's really not hard. It's really easy. Yes, but don't you have a basic responsibility once in your life to figure it out? So what would you say? You would say, in America, if it turns out that most of the grain is chadash, which then, even according to Ramah, what should you do? Treat it as usur and maybe not tell people because they won't listen to you anyways. Right?
So my question is, grain that's planted takes root before Pesach.
Mm-hmm.
You can't eat, right? Isn't that all grain, though? Because technically everything's...
No.
Like how much before Pesach?
Took root before Pesach. The exact dates. It took root before Pesach. Meaning not spring wheat. Spring wheat didn't take root before Pesach.
Spring before Pesach.
No, meaning spring is that. If today is.
Pesach is April 15th. If I planted something March 15th.
Then it's going to be mutter after. Once Pesach hits, it'll be yashar.
Okay.
But if you plant something on April 16th, it'll only become yashar in a whole year.
Right.
So let's first try to understand this Svek Sveka, because everyone noticed that this Svek Sveka of the Rosh / Ramah is utterly and completely bizarre. What a svekveka is that? That's not a svekveka. It's a savik mitzad echad. Right? It's one question, which is it or is it not yashan? So look. So let's try two ways of explaining the Rama, the Rosh Rama. Call it what you want. Okay. Look at 19. Start at 19. Okay. This is the Aruch HaShulchan's attempted defense, and this is what he says. So first he summarizes it for you, okay? He says, "V'im chadash noeg isuro gam bechutz laris nechluku ba'azir Rabbi Lazar v'chachom." He said the question of whether it applies in chutz laris is a machloket Rabbi Lazar and the chachomim. Good. So we don't have to read it inside. What's he going to tell you? Rabbi Eliezer says it applies midaraisa even in chutz laris, and the chachomim say it does not. And who do you paskin like? Rabbi Eliezer, very good. And that's what he notes from many of the Rishonim. Right? And he says this is based on... And he says, even though normally we don't paskin like a stam v'achakach machlokes, right? Because you have the stam in Arla, and then the machlokes in Kiddushin, the poskim in this particular case are mechadesh that ain seder lemishnah. You can't make this rule. Okay, fine. Sif gimel. Amnam lefiza eino el safik isher Torah. L'shona mamash again. V'da Rambam yefsher lomar klal shapasak b'minei mibnei asafik sherekazu dechayev malkus. He says it doesn't sound like it's a safik of who we poskim. Like it sounds like it's a vadai because the Rambam says you get malkus, right? And he says, The Gemara seems to imply that it's del Raisa. Again, how does he know which Gemara tells you it's del Raisa? Our Gemara and Menachot Samaches. Remember, we saw two out of the three positions apply Sveika de Yoma to Chadash, which implies that it is del Raisa because they're applying Safek. Right?
Yeah.
Right? So he says it's a machlokes. And he says that should be the reason we should be machmir. Siv Dalid. He says, Vaniomer Dlachin Lavin Rabasinach Menachem Mishum to Misham in Echreya. He says, but maybe the poskim didn't quote it straight from there because maybe that's only a chumrah, right? Because in the Gemara it says that your father would do this, which makes it sound like maybe it's a chumrah and you couldn't prove from there that it would be aser. Okay. But in the end of the day, he says the poskim is del paskin, that it's aser midaraisa. Maybe they just thought that you could be doche the proof from minhachot. And he goes through a lot of detail in this. Now, at the end of it, he also notes that maybe the reason the poskim didn't take as proof that it's mutter and chutz laretz, that you only bring the omer from chutz laretz, because like the Rambam, they think that the mitzvah and the matir are not. What? Sorry. So then at the end he says, and why don't the poskim prove from the fact that you only bring the omer from Eretz Yisrael that Chadash doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz? Correct, because it says the Rama makes it clear that they're not Talu Zebazet.
Does everyone agree with that?
What? He's saying, but the Rama didn't bask in that way. He said, the Rishonim don't bask in that way. Lamaisa, you could have. So then he goes into Sivhei. He says there were some who paskin that Chutz Laretz was Derabanan. Right? Sivhei, who is he going to tell you in Hei that says Chutz Laretz is only Derabanan? What? You already know, we've seen this, it's all summary. Who holds Derabanan? Rabbi Baruch. Right? Rabbi Baruch thinks it's Derabanan. And who else? Rabbi Avigdor, Ravan, Maharil, Mari Segal.
So all those guys.
Right, all those people, right? So he noted. So then in Sivvav he says, V'al kol panim. Etc. So then he notes another possible heter, which is what we'll see in the Taz, based on the Ur Zarua, which is maybe because it is Shas HaTchak, we can go back and paskin like the Chachamim, even though we don't normally paskin that way. Well, we're going to see this. Right? We're going to see. The Ur Zarua thinks it is. What? How is it? I'm really confused here. How is it that, again, on this also, I left out the main point. God. Okay. So after all that, but then in Siv Zayin, he says, okay, but let's defend the Ramah. So, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to open this up, because it even says that I put it till Zayin. I didn't. I put it till Vav. So open up the Aruch HaShulchan, Reish Tzad Gimel Zayin, or get me an Aruch HaShulchan. But you can do it in Svaria. Just open up on Svaria. What? Okay, so get an Aruch HaShulchan. Not a Shulchan Aruch, an Aruch HaShulchan. We have one, right?
We should have, which one have.
What? Yorodeya, Reish Tzad Gimel Zayin. What? Reish Tzadi Gimel. 293. What?
Three toes. It's
what
it's written.
Three toes is a
mesechet.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a
Bafle. There is no Yerushalmi three toes, only Bafle. Only Bafle. Okay, so I'm going to hold off on Vav for a little bit. Vav is the Orzarua Taz Heter, which I do want to come back to. But for today, what I want to do is focus on his defense of the Rambam. Okay? And like I said, we're going to finish tomorrow. Let's push him this button. It's not going to help. No. Okay. So, but let us get to his defense. Oh, wait. No. Second. So it's not Zion. I don't know what happened here. Okay. Sorry. Then he skips down. If we skip many sifim to Ted Zion, and he quotes. Right. He has a lot going on. But let's see his defense of the Rambam. He says, "Katav Rabbeinu Rambam." But the Rambam says that Kol Stam Tu Ashari Lachar Apezach Mikoch Svek Sveka Safek Hi Mishana She'avra V'im Timti Lomer Mishana Zo Mikomakom Dilma Nishusher Kodema Omer. And that's the Rambam. And then he says, "Miu Kasha Izu Svek Sveka Huzeh." Hakol Shem Echad. What is this Svek Sveka of the Rama? Right? What is this Svek Sveka of the Rama? It makes no sense. It is really just one question. What's the question? Safik im hetiru ha'omer or lo hetiru? It's one safik, and what can it be boiled down to? Yeah, is the omer matir it or not? Umali im mishana sha'avra o mishana zu kodem la'omer. And this is Rabbi Kiva Eger's question. So the Orach HaShulchan is mechadesh the following. He says, "V'lim nireh, the shapir have a svek sveka." There is a svek sveka. You know why? So here he comes up with a wild chiddush, and he says, it doesn't matter if the two sides of the safek, for your purposes, are halachically equivalent. If they have nafkaminas in other areas of halacha, then they each qualify as their own suffix, even though for your purpose, it's the same question. And therefore he says, right, because he's... Oh good, so what does he say? De'im haya mishana ha'avra in mevi'in mimenu eda omer... He says, here's the suffix. If it grew last year, but didn't take root before the Omer, so then, from the vantage point of the Yisr Chadash, it is Chadash. It is Asr Misham Chadash. But comes the next year, and you have to bring the Karbana Omer. You can't bring that, because the fact that it was even planted before the last Omer, so you can't. Even though, because it's Asr Misham Chadash, so you might have thought, since it's Asr, for the next year's Omer, and he says, no, you can't, because the halacha is, based on the Gemara later on, is Reshit Kitzir Chavalosofk. This is the very end Right? This is the oldest of the grain, and we don't want old grain which happens to have just not missed taking root. What do we want? The new grain. So therefore he says, for the purpose of Chadash, it's one Shiloh. But grain that was planted before the Omer of this year, but didn't take root, even though it will remain Chadash for a year, it will be considered Yashan.
Well, not Yashan.
Not Yashan. It'll be considered last year's. Call it last year's.
It's not like Yer Mitzvah.
It'll be called Yashan insofar as the Karban is concerned. And therefore he says, even though for Chadash, it makes no difference.
Does he think you can't bring it? Or that
you can't bring it. No, you can't bring it.
But
you can't.
There is no other grain. That was what you planted that.
So then you might be able to bring it. But he says.
So then it's really.
No.
Just there is better.
No, but he's saying the point is that because it has a halachic status, right? Meaning, grain that was planted before this year's Pesach, but didn't take root, is still Asur Mishum Chadash, but it's distinct for the purpose of the Karban from grain that was planted after Pesach. And therefore, what does he say? Svek Sveka, it doesn't matter if the Svek Sveka is actually relevant for the question you're asking. All that matters is that each Safek has some implications on Halacha, and that's enough to invoke the rule of Svek Sveka. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's Kiddush. Okay? But if you turn to number 21, I gave you just a few sources that I got when I was in Shana Aleph from Rabbi Doctor. He wasn't doctor yet, he was rabbi. Oh, maybe not actually. I think he was just Aaron Siegel then, and now he's Rabbi Doctor.
So he wasn't either in the Hebrew doctor.
I think he was finishing Smicha then, and then he got a PhD in metaphysics. Yes, he's a professor. He's a professor at Hebrew U. He lives in Buchman. He gave shir last year, remember?
Who's he?
Aaron Siegel?
Yeah.
Like he's a friend. Like he gave chabur when I was in yeshiva, a few years older than me. He's beyond excellent. So he gave shir. He was supposed to this year, but then everything went, you know, haywire. He says there has to be more to it than the Aruch HaShulchan. And he says if you read the Rush very carefully, the Rush says, what was the line in the Rush again? Maybe it was Chadash, maybe it's Yashan.
Maybe it was planted.
And even if it's Chadash,
maybe it didn't take root.
So what does he say? He says, no, you've got to understand that maybe the Ramah, the Rosh has a different Chiddush. That maybe it's not accurate to say that all Yashan is Asr and all Chadash is Mutter. Maybe there are cases of Chadash which are Mutter. And what the Rosh is saying is maybe it's Chadash, Meshin, is Yashan. And even if it's Chadash, maybe it is the Mutter Chadash. Ah! So he says that's what you would have thought. But he had several Raya that maybe the Rosh thought not that way. And that's why he thought it was a Svek Sveka. That where would you get this? Because Daniel's looking at me, that's quite a Kiddush. I agree. But I didn't give you all the sources. I gave you three possible sources for this, okay? One is from the Ramban. The Ramban in Kiddushin Lamed Ched, commenting on the line in the Gemara. The Gemara is trying to compare and contrast different Isurim. And at some point the Gemara says, Ma Chadash She'ein Isuro Isur Olah. Chadash is different from some other Isurim, like Kilayim, in that it's not Asur forever. So what does that mean? So Rashi says, Perish Rashi Zal Elaad Shisha Asar. What does it mean it's not Asar forever? It means that it becomes Mutter after the 16th. V'yesh Hetel Yisur B'yom Shisha Asar Atzma L'achar Akravaz HaOmer. Abel Arla Ein Yisur Yisur Olam Da'achar Shalash Mutteres. Arla is never Mutter. Why? Abel Ein Yisur B'dokim. Sorry. Well, there's us. It's mutter after 3 years, but b'metoch ain't hekel yisur b'tochim ei yisur. V'yish mishu arei yisur yisur olam sheperes shachanu b'toch shalosh shanim asurim. Others say, oh, what it means is that arla, the fruit of arla, are always usher. The tree will become mutter, but the fruit from the first 3 years are always usher, as opposed to chadash where this grain itself becomes mutter. That's Rashi. But look at the bolded part. Avo Rabbeinu Chanan el Zal Miforesh Ein Isuro Isur Olam Hainu De Chadash Mutter La'achar Zman, which is different than Rashi. Why? V'yishetter li Isuro She'afilu Oto Chadash. That Chadash She'niktzar Kodem HaOmer, that was cut beisr before the omer, v'ne'esar yesh lo heter lachar zman. So what does the Rabbeinu Chanan seem to say? The grain that was cut right before the omer is not called yashan. What's it called?
Grain that was
cut before the omer is called chadash, that became mutter. That's how we conceptualize it, is it?
Meaning that it grew after Pesach and you cut it before.
So that is one potential indication that maybe what the Rosh is saying is that there's two types of, right? So the way he suggests is as follows. Grain which grew and was cut before the Omer, that's called... What? That's Yasha. But grain that, where's the rush? Right? Let's go back to the rush. I mean, we like in the rush. Right, so he reads the rush. He says the rush tells you what the suffix. One second. Suffix chadash suffix yasha. And the imdum chadash mehishrish kodama omer. That he says as follows. Grain that was fully grown before the Omer, and the Omer passes, what is that called? Grain that was fully grown before the Omer, and now the Omer passes, what do you define that grain as? Yasha. But what about grain that merely took root, but isn't fully grown? It still needs to grow for months after Pesach, but it happened to have taken root before. But what? Look at the language of the Rush. Again, it's a Chiddush, but look at the language of the Rush. What does the Rush call it?
Rush calls it Yasha.
No! Im Chadash Dama Omer. Then maybe the Rush thinks there's two separate categories. There's Yashan, and there's Chadash, which is Mutter.
And
that's why it's a Svek Sveka, because these are really two different ways of being Matir. It never says Chodesh Yashan. It says Ad Aviachem and Omer at Tnufa. Right?
Right? Where's that?
Vayikra. Chav Gimel. No, but we spent long time in the Pesukim before. Okay, let's just look at his two other proofs. Again, it's still a big Kiddush, but let's look at the two other proofs, okay? So look at 22 and 23. This is a Gemara here in Menachot. Boy Rava Bar Rav Chanan. Chitin shezara'an bekarka, wheat that you planted in the land, in the ground, omer matiran o ein omer matiran. Does the omer permit it or not? Hey chidami, what do you mean? Id ashrush, if it took root before Pesach, so then, tanina, it's a mishnah that it is, mutter. Id lo ashrush, if it didn't take root, tanina. We also have a mishnah, ditnan, in Mishrishu Kodim Laomer Omer Matiran in Lav Asuranachiyavo Omer Haba. Right, it's a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha, here's the Chiddush. Here's the case. Dechatzdinu, Vizarinu Kodim Laomer, Vasa Omer Vichalif Alayu, Vikami Boile Maulunakute Umecha Minayu. Keman deshadi b'chada dam yavisharinu omer, o dilma batelu legabe ara. So the Gemara says it's a very, very unique case. What's the case? So the Gemara says it's as follows. You cut the grain before Pesach, and then you replanted them before the Omer. Okay? You replanted them. And in the middle, the Omer passed it. So here's the question. Do you view it as it being in the ground, right, but not planted, and therefore
replanting grown?
Correct.
I mean,
correct. So he says, do you mutter, do you look at it, since it hasn't yet taken root, do you say that it's as if...
No, but it's uprooted already, it's grown. I don't get it.
Yeah, but now you replanted it. And that hasn't taken root a second time.
Seeds, and you replanted it?
Yeah. But it hasn't taken root yet.
So it's seeds, not...
But it hasn't taken root. So now can you go back into the ground and take the grains out and eat it? So the question is, do you look at it as grain that was just in a jar and therefore it's mutter? Right? Like if I took grain, I cut it before Pesach, right? I put it in a jar, obviously it's still yashar. Right? Pesach passed, it's yashar.
Well, no. The act of planting...
No. If I took grain...
Example.
So he's saying, is the fact that it's back in the ground but it hasn't taken root, does that mean that it's like it's in a box? Because it's just sitting in the ground. It could easily have been sitting on my table. And therefore, grain that was sitting on my table, does it become mutter after Pesach, after the first day of Pesach? After the second day, you know, after whatever? After Tezayin? Yes. Or do you say that since it's back in the ground, it's became butthole to the ground, and it's as if you replanted it, and now you...
No, until it grows roots, then it's not grown.
No, but... That's only if you consider it butel. He's saying, is it butel to the ground? And then you took grain. You cut it. So now it's cut. No, it's not cut yashan yet. It is Rosh Chodesh Adar. You cut grain. Okay, right now it is chadash. Okay? If you put that in storage, then on Tet Zayin Nisan, what happens? It becomes yashan. It becomes mutter. But instead, you put it in the ground on Erev Pesach. So now what? Do you say, well, it didn't take root yet, and therefore, just like grain that was sitting on my table is mutter, since it didn't take root, it has the status of cut grain, where the Omer passed, and it's yashan. Or do you say that since it was planted back in the grain, it's as if it's butthole to the ground, and therefore it is grain that hasn't taken root before Pesach, and therefore does the Omer matir it? No. So what he points out here is that here, if you think about how the Gemara is conceptualizing it, right, what do you learn from this Gemara? What could you tease out of this Gemara? Right, meaning it's saying, right, that there are, right, as... Meaning, right? What it's highlighting here is that there's something unique to the status of hashrasha, right? That it's not just, right? Meaning, if it had taken root, that would be in this case an oser, right? Right. If it didn't take root, right? If you view it as having taken root, right? Meaning. Okay. So what he says is, right, that what you could learn from this Gemara is the following. He says, "Svekotur chanan barava ulagabe chidin gadlu gam lefne omer." So he said, the Raven understands the Gemara with tfua, with grain that took root before the previous omer, already became mutter, and Rav Chanan barava says, doesn't become usher again. So that doesn't help us. But he says the Rambam understands that what's the case here. The way we understood it originally. But he says this something is weird. Because if you left it in the ground, then it would become mutter. Right? What? So he said, "What's the question?" One second. He said, "What it said?" One second. Shame. Lo zaru oto mechadash unita idomer ezer. Right. Everyone agrees that if you hadn't put it in the ground, it would have been mutter, right? So why here? What does the suffix of batal gabe karka teach you? It teaches you that there might be two different ways of being matli omer. Either it's metaltlin and therefore it's tua, or it's batel to the ground and mushrash. But what the Gemara is mechadesh, that there's a status of Isser. What is it? Batel to the ground, but not considered nishrash. Which tells you that the avenue of heter of tvua, which becomes mutter, and that which is nishrash, is two different tracks. Because the Gemara is saying that maybe it falls between the cracks. It's neither tvua, nor is it nishrash. Right? It's batel gabe karka, so it's not tvua, but it's not nishrash. Right? That's the chiddush here. Is that you would have said, I don't understand, there's no suffix. If you think that it took root, so then it's mutter because it took root and the omer passed it. If it didn't take root, then it's obviously mutter, because if it didn't take root, it's like it was sitting on your table. This was grain that was already...
But that's how all grain is planted.
No, but this is grain. Yeah, but it's grain, but the omer already passed. Right? This is already grain. It's grain that you replant.
New grain that's planted is always taken from old grain. It's not like there's new grain.
It's grain you were going to use for food. Right? So you should say, why going to the ground to make it usher? So it could be that, because these are different tracks, it can become mutter as tvua, or it can be mutter as chadash, right? Meaning shenishrash lefnei. But if it's batel gabe ara, it's not tvua. Right? And because it wasn't nishrash, it's usur. So it sounds like, now you could just push it away, right? You could be docha, but he said what it sounds like is that these are two different heterim. And that's what he notes from the Rambam in 23. The Tuashish, So Rabbi Dr. Aaron Siegel suggests is maybe the Rosh is Mechadish. That basically there's two avenues of het there. One is something becoming Tvua Yishana. The other is it becoming Katsir, right? And this is maybe a better formulation. There are two ways of something becoming Mutter. Either as Yashan, and how does something become Yashan? If what? If it's tevua, it's defined as like food, then the omer passed. But if it just happens to have taken root, then what is it? Dagon. It's standing grain, so it's still chadash, but it's chadash which was asher shlifnei omer and becomes mutter through that avenue. And that these two avenues of heter, tevua, which becomes yashan, or chadash, dagon, which is mutter because the omer passed, might be two conceptually different possibilities, two ways that the Omer can be matir, and maybe that's why it's a svek sveka. Now, he has other proofs to this as well. I'm not saying it's not a chiddush, right? So basically, what do you have? You have the Aruch HaShulchan's understanding, which is, you're right, this is really only one suffek, but because grain that was planted before the Omer has a nafkamina for karban, technically, these are two different questions, even though they're the same for our purposes, and that's enough for Svek Sveka. What he adds is maybe there's actually two avenues of becoming mutter. One is it being tvua, which becomes yashan. The other is standing grain, which happened to have taken root before, which is chadash, which is mutter, right? On the avenue of dagan. based on that, he says maybe that's what a specs fake is. But I agree with you. That, is this problematic? 100%. Right? 100%. And even the Ramah says that what? If you know that the grain is chadash, so then? To be usher. So now you'd have to ask, do I have to research it? So this comes to a different conceptual question, which is when you have a specs fake, is there what's called a late out of suffix? Meaning, when there's a Svek Sveka, do you have to say, I don't even have to check because I'm allowed to assume it's mutter, or do you say no? If I have no way of figuring it out, I'm allowed to assume it's mutter. But if there's a Leidadas, right? But there is a Leidadas Sveka. I am in doubt. The Nafkamina would be, do I have to research? So what I want to do tomorrow is bring this all together. So we've seen and tried to defend the Ramah, though we've noted that limitations of the Ramah. What we'll see tomorrow is that the postum are going to divide. Some postum are just going to base themselves in the Ramah. Some, as we already saw in the Archa Shulchan, we'll see it's originally the Taz, are going to base themselves in the Gorza Ruah, which I didn't give you the Gorza Ruah, but the Taz is the same thing, which is maybe that when you're Bishas Adchak, you're allowed to go back even to the Gemara and paskin like the other Shita in the Gemara, meaning even if we paskin your Lazar, what? The Gorza Ruah and the Taz, say it does.
The Gorza Ruah 300 years ago.
750. He's a Risha. Balatosva. Yours or was a Balatosva? So we'll see that, and that's what the Rosh Hashulchan bases himself on, is that maybe we actually going, even though the Rishonim Paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to go back to the Gemara because it's Shazat Chak and Paskin like Chachamim. So this is what we're going to see tomorrow, is that La Halacha, we're going to try to just summarize everything in La Halacha now that we've tried to defend the Ramah, even though I agree it's not so glot. again, it's possible that there are such, you know, two tracks of heter. Chadash, which is mutter, and Yashan, maybe dividing between grain, right, standing grain and cut grain, or tvua and dagan, or something like that. Which is more of this formulation. Again, you know, I can send you some more makaros on this if you are interested in it. What we'll do tomorrow is try to summarize La Halacha, what we see in the poskim. And again, I didn't promise you any magic, like, silver bullet, like, oh, now I'm convinced it's Mutter. I've showed you every avenue of Heter. I'll show you one more. We'll see this Orza Ruah thing play out. We'll see what the poskim say, and we'll see why the Maisa, like the classic Mefarshim, the classic poskim, are not thrilled with this. And you'll see, I want to read the Mishnah Berurah inside, which is his compromise position, La Halacha. Tomorrow's just going to be wrapping it up halacha l'maaseh. We'll be finished tomorrow, okay? Good.